All right. Thank you, Brother Hector. We appreciate that. I hope he's your Savior. He is God. You can make him your Savior also by receiving him. Amen. Thank you for that good message and song, Brother Hector. I want you to open your Bible to the book of Acts. You get through the Gospels, get over to the book of Acts. We're going to go over to Acts chapter 3 this morning. Acts chapter 3, Christ has died on the cross by this time. He's risen from the dead. The church is met to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we get to chapter 3, we have a miracle that takes place. Peter and John go down to the temple, the hour to pray, and a certain man who's lame from his mother's womb, he's there, and he's begging alms, he's begging gifts, and they see him, and you remember what Peter said to him? He told him, said, silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, and of course what he had was to introduce him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the man rose up and was healed. And that drew a crowd. And Peter takes the opportunity of seeing the crowd to preach to them. So I'm going to start reading in verse 19 of chapter 3. And we have Peter, of course, speaking to them here as he preaches to them. And I'm going to take out this portion of thought here. And it's the fact that Jesus is coming back to restore or to cause everything to be made right. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit this morning about a fair time that's coming. We're not in such a fair time today, anybody would admit. Things are out of balance. But a balancing time is coming. A fairness time is coming. That's referred to here in our text. And so Peter starts off with a word that's very important in the scripture, verse 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now, Peter's talking to a group. He's already told them, you crucified the Lord. Even the Roman governor didn't want to, but you persuaded him to do it. And then he's telling them to turn from that, to repent from that, and to be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. Somebody said Jesus was the second Moses. Well, he was a little more than that, but Moses is predicting him here. And the quote is out of Deuteronomy here. A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. Like unto me. Yes, Jesus came through his brethren. The brethren were Jews. It says in John chapter 1, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. The brethren, yes, he was a Jew in the flesh. Mary was a Jewish virgin that the Holy Spirit of God overshadowed. So he said, you'll be like your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear the prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Jesus Christ came as the seed of Abraham. We understand that. Unto you first, God having raised up his son, Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. So Peter's taking the opportunity, he's kind of reviewing a little bit, he's telling them, he's catching them up to date here, and he tells them what to do. He says, repent, turn back, go God's way, be converted. He's telling them what's the right thing to do, and he said there's a restitution time coming. Now you ought to get a hold of that, he says, in all things. That's a little bit big to understand. We live in an unfair world today, don't we? When my son was growing up, a time or two he'd come to me, and you parents have this. And he'd say, that's not fair. I'd say, you're right. We live in an unfair world. And don't lie to your kids. You do. Sometime they're going to be mistreated. Sometime there's going to be injustice. Sometimes there's some things you can't fix. And just go ahead and say, yes, we all have to deal with it. That does happen sometime. You know, Jesus said offenses will come. Then he went ahead and said, woe unto that man by whom the offense cometh. There are going to be times somebody mistreats you. Sometime maybe somebody lie on you. Sometimes somebody cheats you, something else. I know we don't approve of it, but we face the reality. It is this old world that we live in. And he tells them here, repent, be converted. Restitution is coming in all things. Now, we see this truth in our out-of-balance day we live in. Isaiah predicted our day. I see it so much today, and I know you do. He said a day would come when they'd call evil good and good evil. Reversed. Man, we saw all the Stooges on stage this week wanting to give America away. I never seen the beat of it. It's amazing. And they're calling evil good. That's what they're doing. And if they have their way, we're gonna hurt in this country of ours. I hope they don't have their way. I hope enough Americans wake up and say, we're not going to let you do it. But anyway, what is being promised today is opposite of what is right. I saw in the Canadian press, and it's unusual when Canada has to be a little more conservative in the press than we are, but I saw in the Canadian press this week, where they were exposing the agenda talked about and being promoted and the plan that's being followed in the United Nations. And they do have an agenda for the world. You understand that? And I got some literature laying on my desk that's showing their agenda. And the bottom line is this. They want to put everybody into the globalism package. And they said it's racism for you to want to live in a house by yourself. If you own your house, like you folks over here in the village, a bunch of racists over there of us, see, because they're living in their own house. You're supposed to be willing to be pigeonholed into a big concrete condominium with everybody else. Otherwise, if you want your own backyard, you want your own living room, you want your own kitchen, that's racist according to the UN. Yeah, look who I'm preaching to this morning. There's a pile of racists out there, including myself. We have a house to ourselves, amen? Now, we can laugh at it, folks, but that's the plan. Some of us preachers in here went to Russia several years ago, and we went in there, and we saw over there what we would call concrete condominiums, and there were several families over there. I'm talking about good Christian families, but there were several families over there. They had to share the apartment with another family, and in some cases, families they did not even know. One kitchen, one restroom, two different families in a little two-bedroom apartment. But that's what globalism has for you and I. That's what socialism and communism that's being promoted now in the political scene. That's exactly where they're going to take you if they're able to do that. I'm just saying to you, we look around and see this truth. Things are unfair today. Things are out of balance today. And there's no doubt about it. We live in a depraved and a sinful planet, sinful nation. I understand that. But the promise of what Peter was preaching here is there's a time coming it's going to get fixed. There's a time coming it's going to be made fair. There's a time coming it's going to be put back into balance is what he's saying. And so he preached the text here. I want you to look at it with me. I'll give a few titles to it. Look at the profit of what he was doing here preaching. He's saying it does pay to serve God. Now the book of Malachi raises the question. Last book in the Old Testament, short book, near the end of the Old Testament, there's a blank place between the Old Testament and the New, so to speak, as it changes gear. And the scholars tell us and history tells us that there's 400 solid years between Malachi and Matthew. 400 years silent? What do you mean? I mean, God didn't speak to the Jews. He didn't have the church had not yet come on the scene. And God is, as it were, turned his back because they had turned their back on him at the end of the New Testament. And you know, one of the questions raised in the book of Malachi was, does it pay to serve God? Malachi 1:10 pretty much asked that question. Does it pay? He said, some of you say it don't pay to serve God. I'm probably preaching to some folks this morning in this room in radio land. And truth is, if they'd be honest, they'd say, no, it don't pay to serve God. You say, how you know that, preacher? Because they don't serve him. Because they say, oh, no. No, I can't do that. I can't pay that price to serve God. Young people today, listen to me. I want to tell you, it does pay to serve God. It pays now, and it's going to pay much more in the future. And I want you to understand that in the long run, it is going to pay. You say, well, I'm missing so much fun. You might be missing something else. You go out here in the world's way, you might say, I'm missing some fun. You might be missing AIDS. You might be missing getting pregnant before time. You might be missing all the addictions that's out there for you to get on to. Oh, man, listen. There's some bad, bad stuff going on out there. And I'm saying to you young folks, it pays to live clean, to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. You might be missing the guilt that'll scar your life for the rest of your life. And guilt's very real. Now, you know what they teach about guilt today? They teach you it's just imaginary. No, it's not. I deal with a lot of people in my ministry, and I find out a lot of folks are still dealing with guilt that happened way back in their teenage years or later, and they're still hurting from that thing, and their life is still messed up because of it. Yes, it does. It scars for life. The psychiatrist says, well, it's just in your head. I read a little cute little story about a man. Watched his neighbor every morning when the neighbor would come out to catch the ride to go to work. He'd be out there where the garbage cans were. And he'd watch the neighbor. He'd walk up and down in front of the garbage can, and finally he'd just haul off and kick his neighbor's garbage can and spill the garbage all over the street. Well, when he come down, he had to pick it up, get it ready. And so finally he went to him. He said, man, how come you keep kicking my garbage can over? He said, I just can't help it. Yeah, I just can't help it. I look at it, I just can't, I have to kick it. He said, you ought to go to the doctor. He said, all right. So he went to the psychiatrist. Came back, and a fellow watched him out of the window that morning. He said, I hope he got some help. He don't kick my can this morning. But he did. He ran down and went to him. I thought you went to the doctor, and yet you kicked my garbage can again. He said, yeah, but the difference is the doctor helped me. I don't feel guilty about it no more. Now, while we joke about that, that's what the world wants us to do with our guilt. But you can't do that. When you do wrong, God has made us and constituted us in such a way, it's going to hold on to you. It's going to follow you. It's going to torture you later. It's going to scar you. And the truth of the matter is, a lot of folks are having that trouble right now. And I'd say to young people and old people, listen, we ought to get rid of this thing about what the world thinks about us, but let's be not cool with the world, but right with God. Please God. Don't compare to others. I guess you saw on the news here in the last few weeks, they've been talking about this, what do they call it, vaping, this electric cigarette stuff, how bad it's gotten. They got people in the hospital over it right now. You know how that got started? Somebody wanted to keep up with somebody else. Somebody wanted to give in to the peer pressure. I want to tell you, that's what the world does. It's out of balance. It is unfair. It will lie to you, and then it will trap you, and you'll pay for it, and you'll be scarred by it, and you'll continually have to go through life. Where I've told a lot of young people, the habit of smoking, drinking, all of that your body does not crave until you teach it to crave it, until you get addicted to it. I've said this before, you can take all your cigarettes, all your chewing tobacco, all your snuff, all your alcohol, and put it out there on the front step of the church, and I'll guarantee you not one dog, not one cat, not one hog will come by and mess with it. If anybody messes with it, it'll be a two-legged you-know-who. Right? You see, we're not made to crave that stuff, but we can teach our flesh. It'll double-cross us. It's depraved enough. Next thing you know, the first cigarette a kid smoked, he choked on it. First beer he drank, he wanted to spit it out. But after a while, he craves it. What a dirty trick. But that's the way the flesh works. Peter here was talking about it did pay to serve God. He was talking about the prophet of a time coming, a time of restitution. That was when all things were going to be covered. And then he's preaching it here in verse 20. And he says it'll be a time here in verse 20 when he'll send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto us. Listen, Jesus didn't just show up on the scene without some preaching ahead of time. All the Old Testament predicted his virgin birth, Isaiah 53, predicted the fact that he would be crucified. Psalms 22 over there, 1,000 years before he was born, he was predicted to die on the cross and the way that he would die. His resurrection was predicted, and all that he would do was predicted. So when he showed up, the nation of Israel should have known who he was. The preaching of it, send Jesus, before preached. He was long predicted. His first coming was long predicted. Like today, his second coming is long predicted. Days of Noah. Somebody said, we're sure getting a lot of water. I said, well, maybe it's the days of Noah. He had a lot of water around. Y'all ever read that? Amen. Now, I want to tell you a lot more than water. I'm talking about the imagination of man's heart being evil from his youth up. That's what the day of Noah was, and that's where we're at today. Preaching the gospel, I believe Noah preached for a long time without any converts, according to the word of God. And today we're seeing over and over, the more we preach the gospel and the more men want to find a way to excuse themselves and to reject it. And a gospel hardness is a big sign of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, like it was in the days of Noah. Sure, evil, unbelief. But you know, the second coming, today, all kind of warnings, all kind of preachers telling you about it. And I believe God's given us space to repent today. I really do. I believe, like the days of Jonah was sent down to Nineveh. Remember the story? And he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. And you know what? The old king repented. And he put everybody in their sackcloth. And God spared Nineveh. Remember, they had a space to repent, and they did repent. Today, I believe America and others are being given a space to repent. We better take advantage of it while we can. Repent of our evil and our unbelief. We've been warned that Jesus is coming. You know, Jesus used Jonah as an example. He said the men of Nineveh would rise up against that generation and condemn them, because he's talking about in the days of Jonah, how they were given a space to repent, and they did. The truth is today, if there's ever been a nation given a space and a call to repent, it's our country today. Yeah, I've said this, if I had to die and go to hell, I'd rather do it from the darkest jungle the missionary had never gotten in than to die and go to hell from America, where the gospel's preached over the air and on the corners and everywhere. Brother, if there's a hotter place in hell, it's going to be for the one that heard the most and said no to the Lord. Amen? Yes, sir. Peter is preaching of it here, and it is like the days of Noah, and the warnings are out there, and the truth is they're not being heeded like they used to be. Used to be a time when people weighed, where's my soul going? What's going to happen to me when I die? And today, so many have been brainwashed to think everything's just all right. And all I got to do is what I feel like doing. No, no, no. There's still a God that made you, and a God you're going to answer to, and a God that gave his son to keep you from going to hell. And you are going to answer for what you've done with Jesus Christ, our Lord. I look here and I see the prophet of this thing that Peter said. The Lord is coming back. He's gonna restore. There's gonna be a restitution of all things, and I see him preaching of it. Then I see the promise again in verse 20. Again in verse 20 here, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, the same one that was preached before. Now verse 21 tells you where Jesus has been. Look at it. whom the heavens must receive under the times of restitution of all things. The heaven, Jesus has been in heaven. He's been at the right hand of the Father. We know that from the scripture. But he's coming back because he's coming back to do some restoration. Restitution, it says, of all things which God have spoken. All that God said is going to be fulfilled. Spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. That's the promise. You know, men can make all kind of promises. And as we see the politicians warming up and all the promises they make, they're real good about promising things as long as you pay the bill. As long as they're spending your money and not theirs. They're good at making a bunch of promises. And bankrupt the country and tear down the borders and all the rest of it that's going on today. But when God makes a promise, he can keep it. And he will keep it. And that's what this verse is saying. The restitution of all things. Oh, man. Jesus has been in heaven. He is coming back. And it says, and you got that powerful word right there, until the times of restitution. Until. You know, we live in a time when a lot of mistreatment goes on. And Jesus is coming back not just to take the saved to heaven, but to balance things up. Restitution, payback, change, reset the clock, as it were. I don't know if you really kind of get that. But yes, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. You and I have to be careful we don't try to exact vengeance for ourselves. But there is a day that God is coming back in judgment. He came in love. He gave his only begotten son. But he is coming back to set things right. That day is coming. A time of restitution. You know, every soul probably that's ever been born in the world at one time or another was mistreated. And you know who mistreats man? Man does. Do you ever hear the statement, man's inhumanity to man? Yes, an animal may kill to eat, but a man will kill for a lot of reasons. A lot of reasons. He's a different one. And the truth is, God is coming back in restitution. I think about all the souls that's been mistreated in this world and how they cried out for help. You read over Revelation 6 when the fifth seal is opened and the martyrs are under the altar. And they're crying out to God. And they've been mistreated. They've been wrongfully killed. They're the martyrs. Under the altar there, their souls are crying out. And they said, Lord, how long dost thou not avenge us? How long? He said, wait just a little while. Some more are going to be killed just like you were. But their time's coming. A time of restitution. A time of setting everything right is coming. Yes, he's coming back to restore. You think about it a little bit. Evil in our day, calling evil good. Your politicians promising to kill more babies on demand. They say several million, I forget how many million now have been killed in America alone, even with the legal stats that they know about or will admit to. You think about all the aborted babies that may be crying out to God. Mistreated. I was not given a chance to live. My life was taken. Somebody says, we need a scientist to come on the field and invent a cure for cancer. Maybe we kill the one God said we'd been the one. Who knows? Who knows? But I think about all those aborted babies crying out for vengeance. Innocent blood that was shed according to the word of God. But a time of restitution is coming. It's coming. You know, it says all things. All things. That's pretty big scope. All things. Restitution of all things is coming. Do you know even the earth itself needs a restoration? We worry about the hurricanes and some other things that seem to be out of balance, but you go all the way back. You go all the way back and read your history. From the Garden of Eden on, God is coming back to make some restoration. Think about it. He's going to start with man. Adam fell in the garden, didn't he? And he lost the garden. Somebody joked and said, well, Eve ate him out of house and home. I understand that. But he lost the garden. He lost eternal life. He became a dying soul. He was a living soul, but wages of sin is death. But you read the end of the Bible. That's in the beginning of the Bible. You read the end of the Bible, and you'll find out that, as it were, the garden is restored. He was separated from the tree of eternal life. He was separated from the trees. But you get back to the book of Revelation, you read where the tree of life, he has it again. You read in the garden where he was separated from the face of God. He hid himself from God, and he was expelled from the garden. And man today can't look on the face of God. But you get over to Revelation about chapter 21, and you read down there about verse 4 or 5, and you'll find out where they're able to look on the face of God again. Restoration, restored, brought back. Man, I'm telling you what, that'll be the day. The earth is going to be restored. Romans chapter 8 tells us that the earth groans today waiting for that restoration. I read it in verse 22 of Romans chapter 8. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. It says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. We that are saved, but we're living in the flesh, living in the body. Got the first fruits of the Spirit, born again. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Our soul is redeemed. One day the body is going to be changed. Think about it. I've often said we've never really seen a whole man. Adam was a whole man. But all we that born in the image of Adam, we're not what God intended for us to be. The strongest man you've ever seen, the healthiest man you've ever seen, still just a shadow of what the original Adam was before he fell into sin. Think that thing through just a little bit. Yeah, the time is coming, though, that even the body is going to be restored. If you were to go over, and I don't have time for it, but if you were to look in Philippians chapter 3, you'd find out where there's a promise over there in about verse 21 to change our vile body. You say, don't call my body vile. Well, then have you looked in the mirror lately? It's growing more vile all the time. How come you keep going to the doctor? How come you keep taking pills? It's going vile all the time. And after it's put in the ground a couple of days, you dig it up, you'll see how vile it is. But one day we're going to have a new body when it's restored. He does change it that day. He said restitution of all things. Man's going to get the body back that Adam had before he fell into sin. That same verse says it'll be changed like unto his glorious body. I can't understand that. I was teaching in Sunday school this morning after the resurrection how Jesus just walked into the closed room. That'll be all right. As many doors as most of us have repaired, the day's coming, we won't need them. Just walk on in, amen? But we won't do it in this vile body. We got to have a change. It's got to be like his glorious body. That's what the scripture says. And that's part of this restitution. That's part of this restoration. This is Adam being restored. He was expelled from the garden, but he's coming back where the tree of life is, as you read Revelation 21. And he's going to see the face of God. Wow. The kingdom's going to be restored. That's what they asked Jesus after the resurrection, remember? Before he ascended up, Acts chapter 1, what did they say to him? Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he told him it wasn't the time then. He said, not for you to know yet, but there is a time the kingdom's going to be restored. Now understand, the devil has the kingdom on earth today. He's called the god of this world. I know you don't like that, but that's what he's called. And as you look at the news, don't you see who's causing things? But the time's coming when the Lord sets up the kingdom. We pray it in the so-called Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah, the day's coming, it is going to be. The kingdom's going to be restored. Oh, what a day. The kingdom that Adam lost in the garden is coming back. It's coming back. It's going to be restored. And all the injustices are going to be corrected. You know, in Leviticus chapter 25, several verses, long chapter, you read about what the Lord gave instructions concerning the Jubilee. Remember? The Jubilee was on the 50th year, freedom. On our freedom bell in Philadelphia, we've got the quote out of Leviticus. When we put the bell up down here in the county, on top of our Ten Commandment rock, and someone said, "Well, they're fussing about that." I said, "All we got is a scripture on the Liberty Bell that they've had all these years in Philadelphia. Let proclaim liberty throughout the land." Yeah, that's the verse out of Leviticus 25. And the truth is, there's coming a day there when the kingdom is going to be restored and the Jubilee. See, Jesus almost used that 50-year Jubilee of the Jews to picture the grand Jubilee when he comes back and sets up his kingdom. That Jubilee time was great for the Jews. It meant things they had lost were going to be restored. It meant to slaves they were going to be set free. It meant to men in debt they were no longer going to be in debt. It meant to men who had mortgaged the farm that they were going to get it back. God set the reset button. He was starting it over on the 50th year, on the Jubilee year. And you see, the earth is going to have a Jubilee time. Right now, it groans on the burden of sin. You don't know why we have a hurricane? Because the hot air and the cold air mix and they fight. The whole world is in a struggle. But one day it'll be in harmony when all things are restored. You look around today and see the disharmony everywhere you look. But the day is coming, it's going to be restored. And you know what that means to you and I? Have you buried a loved one? Restoration means you're going to see them again. Have you lost something really precious to you? Restitution taken from you, but given back is what it's talking about. Something taken from you, treated unfair. The day is coming when it'll be fair. When Jesus comes back. In restitution of all things, the kingdom being restored, justice upon the throne, evil put down, and restored loved ones. Now, I'm not going to have time to dig into this much, but read the book of Job, but especially read the beginning, then go read the end. Read the beginning of Job when he loses everything, but then go read the end when he gets it all back. And he got everything back double, didn't he? Right? Nod your head with me if you've ever been there. All right? He got everything double back. Except one thing. His sheep was doubled. His livestock was doubled. His wealth was doubled. But the kids he lost were not doubled. Read it close. Why were not they doubled? Because he never lost them. They were waiting on him up there. And I want to say to you folks with grieving hearts, you lost your kids, you lost a loved one, you lost, hey, they're not gone. There's a time of restitution coming in Jesus. Hurting bad over it, that's okay. That's human, that's right, that's okay. But there's a Jubilee time coming when things are going to be set right. When freedom is going to be sounded through the land. And for you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't only come for the saved. He comes to restore all things, to fix all things, to set up a kingdom in restitution for what has been done wrong. Wow. God is not going to let the devil have the final victory. You see, Peter was preaching about it here. And the promise was here. It's going to happen. And you know the best thing I can say about it? Is not only did he preach it and was it promised, but I see a pardon. You have to jump into the next chapter, but if you were to go into chapter 4 of Acts and pick it up in verse 4, you'd find the results of the invitation of the sermon that Peter preached. It says, "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed." Heard what Peter preached. Believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. Well, you add the ladies and the children, that was probably much more than that. But a lot of people believed that day when they heard Peter. You know why a man's heart cries out for fairness? It cries out for things to be right. And Jesus is the only one can make them right. He's the only one can forgive your sin, give you a home in heaven. And he's the only one that can bring balance to an old sin-cursed world. And he is. He's coming back. He is going to restore. It is going to be the earth's jubilee when things are fixed. I ask you this morning, can you be like this 5,000 here that believed after Peter preached? Can you be one today that would believe? Let me ask you, if you don't believe Jesus, if you don't have him, what are you hoping in? It's a dead-end street, folks. This world's unfair. It's out of balance. But there's one coming that's going to set it straight and restore all things. Do you know him? He wants to be your Savior today. Receive him. Get forgiveness of sin. Get your name written in heaven. Yes, he'll come back and take the saved one day, but he's going to do more than that. He's going to restore a fallen earth. He's going to fix things that's out of balance. He's going to restore. He's the only one that can. He's the only one that paid the price, has the right to do so, and he's going to do it. Oh, we long for him today, but the good thing is we have a promise that's sure, and he is coming. Do you know him as Savior this morning? That's the key question. If not, you can leave that seat and come down the aisle, receive Christ today. You're in the midst of his people. If I had a hand showing today, the majority of the people in this building say, yes, he's my Savior. Could you say that? Could you say that? I pray you could, and if not, I pray you would receive him today. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Father, we commit the invitation to you. Lord, we look forward deep in our soul to a time of fairness, a time of restitution, a time when good is on the throne, when evil is put down, when things that are out of balance are corrected. We look for that day. And Father, we know we can't bring it about through politics or anything else, but we can look to the one that's coming back, the one that has the right to restore this old earth from its fallen condition. I pray, Father, for that heart today that's crying out, I've been mistreated. It's been unfair. And Father, it's probably true, but the only way they're going to get it fixed is to know the Lord Jesus. Let him forgive their sin. Take control of their lives. Bless the invitation, I pray, this morning. I pray not one would leave the building without Jesus today. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. I invite you to come receive Christ today. Will you come? Come on as we sing.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
As we sing, will you come?
Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Let's bow our heads a moment. The invitation's still open. Maybe the Lord's speaking to you about something else. Maybe you ought to move your church membership. Maybe you ought to rededicate your life to the Lord. I don't know. Would you say yes to him? Especially, do you know Christ as your Savior? If you're not trusting him, who or what are you trusting? Have you ever asked that question to yourself? If you're thinking, well, I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to plead my case about how unfairly I was treated. You may have a good case, but that's not a ticket to heaven. It won't get you in, friend. Nobody was ever mistreated more than Jesus. He didn't commit one sin. He had all my sin and your sin on him. He was mistreated. Yet the scripture tells us he stood like a sheep before the shearers without even complaint. I have had a number of folks in the ministry at times come to me. They needed somebody to just listen to them, to hear their complaint, hear how badly they'd been abused, how badly they'd been mistreated, how unfairly. And I agree, there's a lot of that. All I can do is tell them to the one that was treated even more unfairly than they, that's willing to take their place. He's the one that one day is going to restore everything, fix it, balance it. In the meantime, he has compassion and understanding on you. He knows. See, my heart's broken, so was his. I was falsely accused, so was he. I was lied on, so was he. All of that. You want somebody to take your side, he's the one. He's the one that can fully understand. He's the one that's been there. He wants to be your Savior if you let him. There's a lot of injustice in the world, and a lot of it will never be balanced until he comes back to do it. Man won't do it. How about you this morning? He wants to be your substitute. He wants to stand by your side. He wants to take your case and plead your case before the Father. But he has to be your Savior to do it. I get the question sometime. We live in a day and time when technology now has news go all around the world. Some of it's accurate, some of it isn't. But if there's any one thing it says the world's out of balance, the world's unfair. No doubt about it, we understand that. So the answer, what's the answer, preacher? The answer is Jesus. No other answer. It's not the UN or one political party or another. It's Jesus. Do you have him? Do you know him? I pray you do. All right. Thank you, folks.